Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, if you want to listen to the full Burt Show every day uninterrupted, we got no ads on that thing. All you have to do is become a bonus BS subscriber. That's bonus Burt Show. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusBS.
The Burt Show.
All right, bear with us today. Burt is out. He's getting some dental work done, getting him some brand new veneers. And I feel like duty. So we're going to. Oh, gosh.
Oh, man.
That's in case you didn't believe Kristen's sick voice.
Yeah.
The duty's coming out.
Oh, yeah, it is. And I think that's why I think everything's starting to break up now and it wants to come out. And so. Well,
tell it not to come out in here.
Yeah, I know. I know. In an airtight studio?
Yeah.
You don't want it out in here in an airtight studio?
No.
Yeah, I got a date tonight. Got to be present.
Girl, you got a date with Advil Cold and Sinus tonight.
You don't want to sound like this on your date? Is that not like super sexy?
Maybe like a nice raspy voice, but not when I hock a loogie into a string.
Yeah.
That'll be a big turnoff.
Oh. All right. So our parents are notorious for wanting to embarrass us. And I think, Abby, your parents inadvertently did so?
Yeah, inadvertently. Although I will say, I mean, they definitely did something. My parents have once again embarrassed me on social media in the name of trying to get their favorite celeb to notice them. So do you remember when I told you about that trip that I was supposed to go on with my family, but my brother couldn't go? So then my parents were like, well, if your brother can't go, then you can't go. They finally went on that trip. But instead of taking me, they ended up going with like a bunch of other couples. And this is a trip they take pretty much every year. They go to the British Virgin Islands. They spend like a week on a boat. It's bougie. They have the best time. It's really wholesome. It's their favorite thing to do every year. And so this year, they got super lucky because while they were there, Kenny Chesney was also there because I guess he has like a home on the British Virgin Islands or the American Virgin Islands, something like that.
I think he owns an island.
He probably does, honestly. So my parents are at this bar with a bunch of their friends and they see Kenny Chesney, Kelsey Ballerini, and her new boyfriend, Chase Stokes from Outer Banks.
No way.
And my parents are freaking out. They're like sending me photos. They're like, oh my gosh, Abby, like, look who's here. And I'm like, cool, I'm going to send this into Dumois. We're going to be like insiders. And they get so excited. Of course, they're like at this bar. They're with the friends. They're having a couple beverages. And I guess at some point, one of their friends has a little beverage, decides this is a good time to approach Kenny Chesney and the group and the young couple that's with him, and you know, maybe try and get a photo. So they end up doing that, and I guess as they should have, got shooed away.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, they come back. It's a bunch of, you know, tipsy, empty nesters are like, we can't believe that Kenny Chesney like didn't want to get a photo with us. And of course, like my mom, like she's such a sweet woman. When she has a little bit too much to drink, she decides, okay, I'm going to do something about like the injustices. So she decides she's going to go on social media. She goes to Kenny Chesney's Instagram and she gets under this photo that he had posted of him on the beach. And I'm going to translate this because I took a screenshot and there were quite a few typos. She basically said, hi, Kenny. I can't believe you and that young couple turned us away at, enter bar name here. We're a group of your biggest fans and all we wanted to do was get a picture and maybe buy you a beer or three. Kenny, we love you and hope next time you won't turn us away when we come up to you. Mm. And so my mom sends a photo of this to our family group chat. And I'm like, Mom, like you can't out yourself as like the a-holes that tried to ruin Kenny Chesney's vacation. Now, yeah. Everybody in the comment section is going to be like, you guys are those people. And so I'm like calling my dad. I'm like, Dad, There's steel drums in the background. They're clearly having a good time. It's like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. I'm like, Dad, you got to make Mom take that comet down. It's so, you just don't do that. And so I don't hear anything from them for like a good couple hours. And then all of a sudden, I get a text from my mom. Apparently, she deleted it and like denied that they ever came up to them. They're like, oh yeah, Abby's right. Like at this point, they have sort of leveled out. And my mom ends up commenting at enter bar name here today when you were there under Kenny Chesney's photo. As much as so many of us were beyond excited to know we were on the beach with you and hoping for a photo, I'm happy to report we all left you alone and left you on your boat quietly. Hope it was an awesome and peaceful day for you.
So she just lied to Kenny Chesney about what he was there experiencing?
I mean, they were like on like, you know, when like the boats can pull up to the bar. Uh-huh. So like they were on like this bar and then they went off on the boat. So it's like one of those boat things, but like lied about not approaching them. They're like, that wasn't us. We left you alone. But we're happy that you guys are having a nice and peaceful day. Couldn't be us ruining it.
And so at any point, did she just decide just to delete everything and just like...
No, the comment's still there. You can see it loud and clear. Oh. It's still there. Still very present.
I gotta say though, in her defense, the... Like, a rejection from a celeb, even over a photo, that hits deep, especially if you like... They deserve to be able to reject and say, like, I'm living my private life. I'm not saying Kenny should have done that. But I feel for your mom, especially if she's a fan, and you're like, I've thrown all this money at you. I support you. I love your music. And you can't take one photo? Again, not saying it's right. I agree with Kenny, but I feel for your mom.
Oh, yeah.
You don't go to the comment section of their own Instagram.
You don't tell me how to live my life.
And then tell them that they're a bad person for not taking a photo with you.
But if you're a boomer on Facebook, you do.
Yeah, if Taylor Swift ever rejects me, I will probably go to war in the comments as well. So I really can't blame them.
Never. The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Okay, so there's this really weird rumor going around that the COVID vaccine is at fault for Jamie Foxx's hospitalization. Obviously, his rep shut that down super fast. So gossip columnist AJ Benza made this claim while he was on Dr. Drew Pinsky's Ask Drew podcast. So he said that he had heard Foxx had developed a blood clot after receiving the vaccine and then suffered a stroke. Entertainment Tonight also reported that on the podcast, apparently he said that it left Jamie Foxx partially paralyzed and blind. Dr. Pinsky didn't say anything about that, and then the gossip columnist didn't even name a source. He was just like, yeah, I just heard. But, of course...
That's dangerous to do that.
I was about to say, I'm like, that's like, what, borderline defamation? But Jamie Foxx's representatives said, like, this is completely inaccurate. None of that is true. Jamie's been hospitalized since April, and we don't really know much about his condition right now. The last that we heard was that he was at a rehab facility, I believe in Chicago. His family was photographed out there. So all I'm hoping that is he's doing okay and he can get back to doing what he does best.
I think sometimes people forget that correlation is not causation. So just because something happens at the same time doesn't mean that was what caused it. It could have been something else.
There's an amazing website. I'll have to find out what it is so we can tweet it out, that literally will pull up all the correlation causation things in the world or in the United States in case you're not a believer. And it'll be like, every Monday in Seattle, it rained, which means on the East Coast in Virginia, somebody got an A. Like, it's random, but they will pull actual data and show you the correlations, and as a great way of proving correlation does not equal causation.
I feel like it's obvious at this point that people are more interested in clicks than his actual health, and that's the part that bothers me. Like, just let the man get healed with his family, and when they're ready to tell us what it is, they'll tell us.
Exactly. Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello have reportedly split up again. So Shawn Mendes, Camila Cabello, they had this 2-year-long relationship and had recently got back in, I believe, April. And they've split again. I know their fans have a bit of mixed feelings about this. Their reps are saying that them getting back together was just a fling, and they've put an end to it. Although reports as recent as June 1st claim that they were like practically moved in together. So it makes you wonder, you know, today is June 9th. What happened in the last week that made them cut ties with each other.
Juicy.
Yeah, Shawn Mendes is also under fire because, you know, there's all those wildfires happening in Canada. So he decided this would be a great opportunity to market my new single. So he used a photo of
That's not what that was
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I thought he was just trying to make a point. I didn't realize that was his new single.
Yeah, it's a new single.
Oh,
so
Shawn. No.
Shawn. So let's have a come to Jesus moment, Shawn.
What's Shawn going to do?
Shawn has taken a photo. Well, I'm sure this is his PR team. I'm sure Shawn had actually nothing to do with this, but Shawn's team, let's say that, took a photo of the air quality in New York right now. So it's a photo of the Empire State Building and, of course, all the smoke and like red ash. It looks like the apocalypse.
It does. For people that don't know, there are Canadian wildfires going on right now, and all of that smoke is moving into the Northeast.
And now the Southeast, too. We're getting air quality control alerts.
And it is honestly terrifying what New York's air quality looks like. I mean, it is like this weird orange, red. You can't even see the skyline. You can't see the buildings because the smoke and air quality is so bad.
It was setting records. The other day, it was the worst air quality of any city in the entire world.
So now everybody's wearing their mask again. I've been seeing stuff in the news of people putting masks on their dogs so they can walk their dogs. Like, it's crazy and it's scary.
They canceled a lot of flights in and out of New York City, too, because I got a lot of family that was going places, and now they can't go anywhere.
Now, there's one thing I think that could get Shawn out of hot water. What is the song about? Like, is the song about fighting for, like, climate change or anything?
So the song is called What the Hell Are We Dying For? I actually haven't listened to it just yet, but a lot of his fans are really upset. They're like, really? Like, you're going to use this natural disaster as a way to market your song?
Oh, so it's not like a gung-ho save the world, save the planet kind of thing?
Let me give it a listen and I'll report back, but people aren't happy. So I'm getting the sense that whatever it is, it's not super good. Just to finish up what this actual thing was, it's a photo of the Empire State Building, bad air quality, and then the song title, What the Hell Are We Dying For, on the front. It's been a bad week for Shawn. He's got this breakup, and now everyone's coming for him for this new single.
Because I follow him on Instagram, and I saw it, and I zoomed, because you have to kind of zoom in to fully see the words, because they're kind of like misty or whatever, because of the smoke. I think, obviously, this is what they were trying to think out, because they want people to like search for it. And then you read it, and then obviously that it's in the caption. But I honestly had no idea. I thought he was just trying to make a point and not that he was promoting a single.
Yeah, maybe that's what he thought he was trying to do, but I think it was tied in with a little bit of marketing.
Mm-hmm. Ew.
Fans of Vanderpump Rules will be happy to know a spinoff is coming your way soon. More on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
All right, so guys, I just went to the bathroom. I blew my nose. I can kind of breathe.
Oh. Yay! Oh. Right. Small wins.
This is huge.
Ooh, we're going to do this. We're going to make it through this show.
We got it.
Cassie gave me some meds I'm going to take here in a little bit, and hopefully by the end of the show, we'll be rocking.
Yeah. Seriously, whoever invented Advil cold and sinus needs a Nobel Prize.
Ooh. As soon as I can figure out how to open the packaging.
Oh, do you see the one I just ripped it because I couldn't open it?
I can't get into it. I tried for 2 breaks now, and I can't get into it.
We need some scissors.
All right, Rebecca, you have kicked the meds to the curb.
I'm off the juice, y'all.
Oh.
Officially.
What juice were you on?
I was on Prozac.
Okay.
So I was on Prozac for almost 10 years. I think it was like 9.5 years.
And what was the reason to go to the doctor and to get on Prozac to begin with?
So I was diagnosed with OCD when I was like 19 years old. I didn't start taking medication until... Oh, God, how old am I now? I'm 29, so 20. I guess a little year after.
And what were some of the things, like, we all have that moment where whatever we're dealing with mental health-wise just gets to a fever pitch and you're like, I can't live like this anymore. Do you remember what that was for you?
It was a time in my college career where I developed basically a new obsession that was so distressing to me that I thought I wasn't going to make it.
Oh.
Like, it literally was a life or death situation for me.
Gotcha.
It was really unfortunate. But I had a psychiatrist at the time who was just giving me therapy because he was also a psychologist. And I came to him and he prescribed me Prozac. And I cannot undermine what it did for me. Like, at that time and for a long time after, it really actually saved my life. It was a boost that I needed, because it wasn't everything, but it was the boost I needed to be able to get up and develop the coping skills that I needed and talk to someone and really get out of a rough time. And now I look back and I'm so glad that I had him and I took that and I was able to get out of that tough life situation.
And I'm so proud of you, because I know that's not it's not easy to ask for help. It's not easy to take those steps, and you did it. And I'm really proud of you for having done it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's hard to talk about still, because it was a really difficult time in my life. I had really bad health OCD. It was so trendy. God, I didn't know a pandemic was about to happen, and I was like way ahead of the curve. But yeah, now I look back and I'm like, I made it out of that. What I can make it out of anything.
It's so hard, I think, for some people, because they feel like it's a failure to take meds. And we would take medicine for our physical bodies, so why not for your mental health? And somebody put it this way. I read this recently, and I thought it was really fantastic for anyone who's on the fence. They're like, oh, it's not that I need these meds. It's that my brain isn't doing certain things that everyone else's brains do, and taking these meds just help my brain have those chemical reactions. Mm-hmm. And when they looked at it that way, like, it's not like I'm broken. It's just, this is bringing me up to the same playing field level as everybody else and just giving me a boost. That totally changed how they looked at it.
My favorite analogy is, like, you wouldn't come down on a diabetic for taking insulin.
Yeah.
Because their body doesn't produce that, right? So it's very much...
That's a great one.
The same thing.
Exactly.
So now here we are 10 years later, and you're like... Juice be gone.
Yeah, honestly, I kept going for like years and years, just because I was like, you know, everything's going well. I'm kind of trucking. Why not stop the train? Like, I don't need to. Yeah. Recently, I just thought, you know what? It's kind of always been a goal. I want to get off. I want to sort of live my life without it and just see if I can do that. So I talked to my doctor and he agreed with me, and we made a plan. And my last day of taking the medication was May 4th, which I remember very specifically, because the next day I went to Cinco de Mayo and I had a drink and I was like, oh, now I'm not drinking on antidepressants, which you're not supposed to do, but I did for a long time. Now this is like copacetic. So it's been about give or take a month, and I'm feeling really good.
Yay!
That's great.
Yeah, like maybe too good.
No such thing.
Like, I'm like...
You seem really surprised by that.
I was expecting... I don't know what I was expecting, honestly, because there are so many, like, symptoms you can have. I feel great, but there are two kind of interesting side effects that I've been experiencing. Have you ever heard of brain zaps?
Brain zaps.
No.
That is the craziest thing I think I've ever experienced. It was something I did not expect that I was going to have.
I've had crotch lightning.
Oh.
But I have not had brain zaps.
I've had crotch lightning.
Save that. All of it.
Ka-chow! When you're pregnant, crotch lightning is actually very common for pregnant women.
What? I'm afraid to ask.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
All right, Thor. I wish it was
God of the cooch.
Man, I wish it was that cool.
Honestly,
what are brain zaps?
I feel like it probably is similar. It literally feels like your brain takes a screenshot. Like, I'm walking around, if I turn my head too quickly or if I get up too quickly, it's almost like being anemic. It's like you're just like... You faint almost for a second.
Oh.
And just like a millisecond, you're like, whoa, what the hell's going on? And you have to reorient yourself.
Is that because your blood pressure is like wonky because it's getting off the meds or something?
I don't know. And it's something that usually happens to people who were on pretty high doses. And I was on a low dose. But I think it was just because I took it for so long. My brain's reorienting.
Yeah.
But the craziest thing is I can't stop crying.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was on Prozac, I never cried. It don't let you cry. So it's like the floodgates are open.
You're feeling all the emotions?
It is wild.
Do you find yourself, I'm curious because I just discovered something recently. Do you find yourself crying at the dumb, stupid, simple stuff, but not at high stress situations?
Can I give you a list of the things that I've cried at
Please. In
the past 2 weeks? Because it is ridiculous. All right. I watched a TikTok of a cartoon where a cat wears a top hat. That was really sad.
It
made me cry really hard.
A cartoon?
It was a cartoon. It had like an Alice in Wonderland song in Spanish, and it was wearing a
top hat. It was so cute.
In Spanish?
Wow. It was in Spanish.
Do you speak Spanish?
No. I got in an argument with my friend about what we should buy from Trader Joe's.
Okay.
Mm. She didn't want to buy the chicken tilapia stuff. I don't know. I wondered if my dog knows how much I love her.
No.
I was a little drunk. I felt really tired, but I didn't want to go to sleep yet.
You're like a four-year-old.
That was like one tear. That wasn't like a whole cry. I realized that in the last 2 weeks, I had cried more than I had cried in a year on Prozac and started crying about that.
You start crying about crying.
Yeah. Okay.
It's your body like recalibrating. I did this for years. We used to joke on the show, which is funny now for the new people. Like, I was an emotionless robot.
Yeah.
I never teared up. I never felt like anything. And now I cry at everything. And it's so annoying because it's a pendulum swing. But what I read is I don't cry at like really big high stress situations or if they happen to me. Like my mother got diagnosed with breast cancer and I didn't cry because I'm like, what do we need to do? Mm. And it's a trauma response for a lot of people who have had some kind of trauma in their past not to cry at big stress situations. But the littlest things like a Publix commercial, Queer Eye, I'm like bawling over. But I think it's your body just recalibrating that emotional pendulum. It's annoying.
I need like a caddy of tissues to carry around like everywhere I go, I guess.
But aside from the burst of tears at Cartoon Cats and Top Hat, you're doing good.
Yeah, I am. And I love it. So if anyone's listening and they were scared like I was, it's okay, girl. Do it.
Or if they were scared to get on it. I think that's also a lesson here, too.
Bury that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The Burt Show.
All right. So her mom wants to set her up with the rich guy, but she's not interested in him. I think like the setup is bad, and also finding out that her mom is a gold digger is bad as well. If you ever have any kind of dilemma or drama, you need our advice, you can always hit us up at theburtshow.com and shoot us an email, producer@theburtshow. Abby's got this one.
My mom is a gold digger, and I am not here for it. Let me explain. I just finished my junior year of college, and I'm home for the summer. Not even a couple hours after I had gotten settled back home, my mom surprises me with the news that I'm going on a date this weekend. First, WTF, whose mom sets them up on a date without their knowledge? And the way she pitched this date was so icky. Apparently, this guy's family is loaded. My mom has joined several tennis clubs ever since she became an empty nester. One of the women she plays with is stupid wealthy. Of course, they chat before and after matches, and when they found out they had kids the same age who were both attractive and single, they decided to set us up on a date. She showed me a picture and, yeah, he's cute. But come on, this so grossly oversteps all the boundaries. The thing is, my mom wasn't trying to sell me on his personality or his looks. Let's be honest, she's never met this dude and couldn't do that anyway. All she could sell me on was how much money they have. She was telling me what kind of car she drives. I think it's like a Maybach or something. She talked about how gigantic her ring is. They've got multiple vacation homes. It's like she was already picturing herself as his mother-in-law. I want to cancel this date so bad, but my mom is adamant that it would ruin her friendship. I mean, I guess it would be harmless, but I kind of want to prove a point that she can't just go around setting me up with whoever she wants.
Mo, go on the date or cancel the date?
I would cancel the date.
Your mom set you up on a date.
Yeah.
Really?
I would.
Knowing how close you and your mom are?
It wouldn't be easy to do, but this, like, would overstep boundaries for me in a way where it would make me so uncomfortable that I would know deep down if I would go on this date just to appease my mom that this is something that she would continue to do. If she got the opportunity, she'd do it again. And I wouldn't want her to continue to do this for me. So if it were me, I wouldn't go on this date to appease my mom.
Oh, man. I'm still a people pleaser. So I would sit my mom down and be like, this is a major infraction. I can imagine how difficult it is to become an empty nester when your kids leave and you're trying to find like your new friend group. So I wouldn't want to jeopardize the friendship that she had had created and had built. So I would begrudgingly go on this date, but would tell her, I am going on this date. This is your one get out of jail free card. Don't ever do this again. If you do, I will not go.
Yeah, I'm going on the date for sure. Because
he's rich. No,
I mean, it doesn't hurt. Here's the thing is there's really no cons to going on the date other than the fact that you're bothered by the fact that your mom is obsessing over the money.
Yeah.
And so that's a completely separate issue. Like, this guy and his mom are like totally innocent in this. And she said that he's cute. So I'm like, if you find him attractive and he just happens to have money, like, that's not his fault. Go on the date. And if your mom continues to harp on the fact that they are loaded, that's when you got to say something.
Does no one here want to know what it's like to ride in a Maybach? I'm going on the damn date. Mo, do you know what it's like?
Yeah, I do.
Do you know what it's like?
What is it like? Is it amazing?
It is.
Is it like being in heaven?
You can lay down in the back. It's amazing. To be 6'3 and lay down in the car.
You can lay down in the back. I'm definitely going on that date.
It's not his car. It's the mother's car.
You think he's not going to borrow mom's car to impress a date? What kind of mama's boy is he?
Think about the wedding gifts, Kristen.
Yeah.
Think about the honeymoon that their in-laws are going to pay for. The south of France. Maybe the Eden Rock Hotel.
And that would be the best revenge, is you marry this guy and then cut your mama out of everything. She gets not a dime.
Wow, that this escalated. Yes, yeah, that escalated so quickly. By the way, I was interested in, like, I don't know what a Maybach is and how expensive it is. It starts at $185,000.
Yeah, it comes with a driver most of the time.
It does?
Uh-huh.
Wait, what? It comes with the driver.
Most of them do. Like, you can get them used, I believe, for without a driver. But I believe if you buy a brand new one, it literally comes with a driver.
Oh, so they bought theirs used. If she's driving it, poor.
Yep.
So wait, you buy a car, you don't get to drive it?
Well, you can if you want to, but I mean, I think you can say, like, I'm cool on the driver, I don't need it. But I believe for a brand new one, a driver is built in the price already.
Because think about it, if you're that rich, you're probably also a business person or very, like, or an accomplished artist or whatever and really busy. So you're going to want to sit in the back seat and work or take calls or chill or whatever while someone else drives you around.
That's kind of like the point of having a Maybach, because you want to sit in the back. You don't want to be in the front driving.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I did not know this. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't like this.
People with that kind of money don't drive themselves around.
I mean, I guess the person who's being bought is okay with it, but I don't like it.
You're not a very good rich person.
No,
Kristen.
Not at all.
You're too nice.
Uh-huh.
Okay, whatever.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you got to have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer. There's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't gotta worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
Happy Pride Month, y'all.
Happy Pride.
Gays unite.
We love the gays. In honor of Pride Month, I'm really excited about this. The Burt Show has started the Pride Line. So we want you to call up our Pride Line and give a shout out to somebody in the LGBTQ+ community that you are proud of. So that number is 404-954-1360. You leave your voice message, and then we will play it on the radio and give them a shout out as they deserve.
Rebecca is really proud of this line, so I'm representing her, a member of the community, when she says she wants you to gay it forward instead of pay it forward. Super cute. That is her line.
Like that.
That is adorable. So if you can't remember the number, 404-954-1360, just go to theburtshow.com. You'll find it there. But again, in honor of Pride Month, The Burt Show has opened up its Pride Line. You want to show a little pride to somebody in the LGBTQ community, please call and leave a message. All right, Katie, This friend that went MIA, we need an update. Hopefully she's okay. She has resurfaced.
Yes, she is alive.
That's good to know.
I don't know about Will.
Oh.
Okay.
Because I'm going to put my foot in. I'm kidding. There's now beef. But I did. So my best friend, it's rare that she'll go MIA. I've known her for over 10 years. And if anything is wrong with her, she always comes and tells us. Like, we have a group. It's three of us and we're the closest best friends.
And you guys like FaceTime on the regular, right?
Yeah, we're daily FaceTime.
Every day.
You know, we'll stay on FaceTime for hours and stuff and just, it may not be doing anything. It may be talking about something. We're just there, you know, for each other all the time. So if something's wrong with one another, we express that. We'll say, hey, I'm having a bad day. We'll speak to one another. So the fact that she went MIA for a week was unheard of, you know, in our entire friendship. She went ghost and we're like, well, what's going on with her? We have her location, so we knew that she was still going to work and coming home.
Oh, that's so cute. You guys, you track each other?
Yeah, we track each other.
Is that cute?
Is that cute?
No.
Or is it creepy?
As soon as I said that.
Uh-huh. It's borderline.
Me and my friends are actually in a little bit of a fight of this right now because we have one friend that, like, I don't want to say obsessively checks our location, but like if we turn our location off, she'll call us and like panic.
Really?
She's like, why is your location off? Like, I don't know. Just wanted to turn it off. You never know who's following you. So I think it's a little
My best
weird.
Friend would do that. If we turned it off, she would do that and call us like, hey, why is it turned off? Because when we're weekends where we're not together, it's like, okay, I know you're
but
out.
But why do you need to know where they are?
Just like, say if you're out on a date, it's a safety reason. Well, for us,
okay.
It's a safety
okay.
reason. It's like, okay, did you make it home safely?
Oh,
you know,
because okay.
you're not going to text me. I'm like, text me when you make it home, girl. And you never do.
You never
so I
okay.
know that you made it home.
Now, from that standpoint, that makes sense. As somebody who's older and all my girlfriends, we're married, we have kids. So it's like, I don't worry about them in that capacity.
I think once you get into a long-term relationship where you live with someone, then it becomes unnecessary. But like, that's your those are your peeps checking in on you. I love that. I think it's cool.
Yeah, it's like single ladies unite.
Yeah, it's sweet. But I'm sense. Also like, why do you need to know what I'm doing at 3 p.m. on a Tuesday? You know, because that's what they'll do.
It's like, I'm not checking it like religiously every 5 minutes, but if I know you're doing something, it's just a safety
precaution.
Well,
maybe somebody thought that your phone was stolen or got crushed and you got kidnapped and your phone's off and that's why they're checking.
No, that's not what our fight's about, actually.
So
you're watching her. She's just going homework.
Yeah. And I didn't know if I needed to give her space or just show up at her door and say, hey, girl, where you been? We're worried about you.
Uh-huh.
And so I chose not to show up at her door. I decided to give her more space. My other friend was like, just wait. And she comes around. So she sends us a text. She's like, hey, guys, I'm cool. Just needed a moment. And we're like, a week's worth? So we're like, okay, cool. Whenever you're ready to talk to us, you know, we're here. She said, okay. The next day she says, well, as a matter of fact, I feel that you all have never done anything for my birthday. And like she.
And there it is.
She sends a text, like this long text.
She just verbal vomited all over you, didn't she?
Yeah, about how she just didn't feel appreciated. And both of my best friends, their birthdays are a week apart. And so one best friend, not the one that went at MIA, her birthday was first. And we were planning like something special for her. It was like this whole big surprise thing. And then my best friend that went MIA, her birthday was next, but she's never celebrated her birthday. She doesn't care about her birthday. The other one, she's like, oh, birthday. We're doing something. The other one's not. So we'll just say, hey, girl, what you want to do for your birthday? And she's like, I don't know. And I don't know why this year she said it was so important to her. And it's not the 30th. It was the 29th year.
That last year in your 20s, though, it hits different.
Okay, because I didn't get it. I was like, girl, I thought dirty 30, yeah, but 29, I don't know. And so she basically said that's why. She was feeling some type of way because she felt that we weren't trying to do anything for her birthday. And it's not to say that we weren't. We were just like, okay, we can go out to dinner. But I think she wanted us to go over the top.
So y'all have always done a better birthday for the other friend. But it's been because she's in the past not wanting y'all to do anything.
Yes.
And now it's hitting her.
So it's like we tell each other what we want for our birthdays. That's what we do. Like, hey, I want to do this for my birthday this year and that.
That's what friends, like my friends are the same way. Like, what do you want to do for your birthday?
Mm-hmm. So I know out of the group, one always wants to go over the top and celebrate. The other one's really nonchalant about it. But this year she just got upset that we just let it be the nonchalant year. And she's like, no, this year I want to do something. But she never expressed that to us. And so she went into hiding and then word vomiting. And I'm like, well, now what do I do? Because now I'm upset. Like, you held that in for so long.
Yeah, that's not on y'all.
But you can't. Okay. So she held that in for so long.
but she didn't know how to address it. She finally did address it. It would have been nice if she had been able to say it, but is it fair for Katie to be mad at her when her friend is the one who's upset?
I think so.
Yeah?
Just because she didn't express it. You can't expect people to be mind readers and to know what's wrong with you if you don't actually express yourself. And on top of that, she was the one who had vividly stated that she didn't want anything done for her birthday. So I don't think it's fair for her to lash out at her friends as if they weren't there for her or if they did, they chose not to be.
Some people, I totally agree with you. I think also some people don't know how to ask to be celebrated and it feels weird for them. So if I were in your shoes, like I would feel the same way. I'd be annoyed like you held this and you didn't tell me. But I think what I would do is host a surprise party and go all out. It might not be on her actual birthday. She won't see it coming. I think this is an opportunity. And after the fact, you can be like, you never expressed any of this. We're here for you, but we're not mind readers, like Mo said. But you can look at this situation and you can either decide both of you dig in your heels and the other person's wrong, or you can rise above and be like the friend that you might want to have and go above and beyond to address like your friend's hurting. She feels hurt. It's nothing you did, but you could fix it. And then after you can be like, yo, you got to tell us when you want to celebrate. We didn't celebrate because we thought you didn't want it. And we wanted to respect you.
But now I feel it's, oh, I want to celebrate because I do want to celebrate her. She deserves that. But now if we do something, is she going to think it's because she went off on us?
That's
it's
what like, I was thinking.
You know?
Well, probably. Well,
it is.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Okay.
Like she expressed herself and that's what she wants. So now give her what she wants.
Yeah. Okay. I think you have to do it knowing that maybe in the back of her mind, she's going to feel that way. But at the same time, I still think she's going to feel celebrated. So I'm like your friend, as I'm always the one who's like, we don't need to do anything for my birthday. We don't need to do anything for it. And my best friend wanted to do a big trip this year. And we always do something special for her. And so it started to grate on me where I'm like, we always do something. Like I always go out of my way. Nobody ever goes out of their way for me. And it's because I always say we don't need to do anything. But then it does start to feel a little uneven. So I get where she's coming from. So I think you should throw the party.
Okay. All right. We'll plan something. It's coming.
And then later on, tell her she's wrong.
So after the birthday.
Let her have the little win and then pull the rug out from under her.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
So before I tell you all about this Vanderpump Rules spinoff, I want to give you a little update on that Shawn Mendes single that he dropped this week. So his fans are really divided on how to feel about this single because, of course, there's all those Canadian wildfires happening. So all the smoke is coming down to like New York City and the surrounding area. And the smoke is so bad that I actually read somewhere that if you breathe it for 24 hours, it's like the same as smoking like 6 cigarettes. It's terrible. So he took it, well, maybe his team took it as an opportunity to market this new single called What the Hell Are We Dying For?
They're like, what a coincidence that he has this song and these wildfires have brought this smoke into New York City, making it look apocalyptic.
Yes. So he posted like a photo of the One World Trade Center. And I said in the last break, it was the Empire State Building. You can't see through the fog. It's actually the One World Trade Center. And he has the song title on it. And everyone's like, okay, well, you're marketing it as like this gung-ho, climate change ballad. But the lyrics are like, this sounds like it's a love song about Camila Cabello.
What?
So the lyrics say, smoke in the air, the city's burning down. I want to speak, but I don't make a sound. Locked in my mind, you're all I think about. I want to save us, but I don't know how. And like, you're telling me that's a song about Shawn Mendes wanting to be like a climate change superhero and not about like missing his boo, Camila, who he's now broken up with.
Yeah, no, this was just, this was very convenient.
Yes.
He tried to use the pollution in the city as a metaphor of love.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
It feels especially gross when you realize, I just looked it up, 14,000 people in Canada have been evacuated from their homes.
Oh, God.
Because of these wildfires. But go off on your new single, Sean.
Yeah. We love you, Shawnee, but this was not the right move. But anyway, in a little bit lighter news, if you love Vanderpump Rules, there's going to be a new show coming to Hulu. If you're obsessed with the Vanderpump Rules Scandal Ball, you're going to have more to watch because they're getting this new show that kind of sounds like, if you've ever seen Below Deck on Bravo, it sounds like it's going to be that, but mixed with like Lisa Vanderpump's entire cast of like crazy characters. It's going to be called Vanderpump Villa. It's going to take place in a luxurious French villa.
And the show's going to follow the Villa staff members as they live and work together. And of course, I'm sure drama is going to ensue.
Gotcha. So it's not going to be the current cast of Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
It's going to be a completely different cast in the French Riviera, but under the same guise.
Yeah, like the same franchise, like another Marvel movie, but instead of superheroes, it's... it's Lisa Vanderpump's staff member.
So I saw the cover of Glamour, that because Ariana Maddox is the Glamour cover girl. And I can't, like, obviously you would never want somebody to go through, especially publicly, what she went through with her significant other of 9 years cheating on her with her best friend. Like, that's like the worst of the worst when it comes to infidelity. But I feel like this infidelity might be the best thing that's ever happened to her.
At least her bank account.
For her bank account, absolutely. Because do you think she would have been on the cover of Glamour if it hadn't been for Scandoval?
Maybe something else had happened, but definitely not just for being on Vanderpump Rules.
I feel like that's the way to turn a negative into a positive when you have something so horrific happen in your life. And instead of letting the negativity take the narrative, you take control and turn it into something positive. And I really feel like that's what she's done here.
I mean, if I get cheated on and it turned into a glow up, I wouldn't be so mad about that.
But then the problem, and I can see, because watching the Vanderpump Rules reunion and how Tom navigates conversations and also Raquel, I could see them almost being the narcissist that they are, taking ownership of the fact that Ariana has all this newfound glory and attention and fame because of what they did.
Oh, of course they would do that.
You're welcome.
Right? But can you not see somebody like that doing something?
Absolutely.
Here's the thing. I think Tom has suffered enough. I mean, everything he did was abhorrent, wrong, but like the internet is doing plenty of punishing for him. So I think even if he does feel that way, like Mans is still down and out, because also Ariana got like this really funny brand deal with Duracell. So on the show, there's like this funny callback to like a scene where Tom is like, just yelling at how, like, oh, Ariana sucks and, like, she doesn't appreciate anything I do and, like, there's batteries in the drawer because of me. And so then Ariana now has this brand deal with the battery company Duracell where she's, like, now getting her bag because of this awful thing that Tom said about her on the show. So I'm real happy for her. I think she needs to take this all the way to the bank as long as she can. She's also in a Lifetime movie, which I didn't even know that she acted.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's playing a police officer in some story about, like, two parents trying to, like, buy their daughter back from, like, a sex trafficking ring. It's really dark, but it's going to be on Lifetime.
She could be in a Lifetime movie about her real life.
I know, right?
Just do that.
Her real life is a Lifetime movie.
It is a Lifetime movie.
Do you remember the last time, like, a TV infidelity took hold of a nation like this?
Oh, God.
Because it has been everywhere and incessant. It hasn't been, like, a 5 minutes, like, you know, your 5 minutes of fame kind of thing. I feel like this has just been nonstop.
I feel like, and this isn't TV, but the last time I remember people so obsessed with an infidelity is Brad and Angelina.
Oh, I was going to say Tiger Woods and
Elin.
Yes.
Nordigan.
Yeah. I was 8 years old and I'm like, Tiger, how could you? For more stories, head to thebirdshow.com. Click eBuzz.
The Bird Show.
She's getting married, and a very sweet, kind friend has offered up her own wedding gown.
Wow.
I know. That is very generous. I don't know a lot of people who would do that.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that Sarah Blakely, who is the CEO and founder of Spanx, has this kind of tradition where she loans out her wedding dress every single year to,
really?
Like, different brides.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they all take pictures, and it's a unique dress, and it kind of hits, like, mid-calf, so it's not like a full-length wedding dress, but it's really, really pretty. And she just, she started this thing, and it's like the sisterhood of the traveling wedding dress, and she's had all these different brides wear her wedding dress over the years.
How cool is that? That's awesome.
It is. It's really sweet. So this friend wants to offer up her wedding gown, but this particular gown has a little bit of a history, and she doesn't know if she should use it or not. Hey, Erin, welcome to The Burt Show.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hi.
First and foremost, congratulations on the engagement and getting married.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. We're excited.
Y'all are never shy on bringing the wedding drama to The Burt Show. We appreciate it. All right, so how does it even come about that you have a friend offering up her wedding dress?
Well, okay, so here's kind of the deal. So my fiancé and I were kind of, I guess what we're doing kind of a shotgun wedding, I guess you'd call it, because I'm trying to plan a wedding in a month. We're trying to get married next month. and things are just crazy about it. So our budget, like, it's a little embarrassing to say, our budget isn't great. I don't have tons of money. And so
that's not embarrassing. Don't be embarrassed by that, girl.
Well, you know how it is. But so I was talking to another friend of mine, and she actually offered me her dress to wear, and we're about the same size. It would fit great. And I remember it's really pretty. Her wedding was like 5 years ago, and I just loved her dress. And so I was telling another friend about the dress friend, saying I could borrow her dress. And she reminded me that the dress friend, her marriage has been horrible. They fight all the time. There has been some questionable behaviors, and it's just not been good. And they've actually even talked about getting a divorce. So
you feel like this wedding dress has some bad mojo on it?
Yeah. My friend was like, yeah, the dress might bring you bad luck. You know, it's not a good idea to wear that same dress since her marriage has been so bad. And so my thing is, okay, I get that. It would save me so much money. Y'all know how expensive dresses are.
Oh, they're insane.
And so I am seriously on the fence about, do I borrow my friend? It's just a dress. Do I just borrow the dress and wear it? I mean, it's going to be worn for, you know, a few hours. Or do I heed the warning and, like, stay away from it, you know? Because I don't want to bring that bad energy into my marriage. So I am totally torn as to what to do here.
Abby, do you believe in cursed dresses?
So, I do. I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious.
Okay, Michael Scott.
And so, I think regardless of whether or not you actually believe in the bad mojo jojo, I think that would probably be in the back of your head the entire wedding day of, like, here I am walking down the aisle in this dress that has this bad mojo on it, and it's a mistake. I think it would just add to, like, the extra tension. So, if it's me, I would be like, oh, I'm really?
A little nervous about it. Yeah.
Cassie? Mm-hmm. See, here's the thing. I don't think the dress has bad mojo because the dress was worn at a high light. They were excited about getting married. And then for the actual wedding day, which was amazing, it's the marriage after. Mm. The dress itself has good mojo because it was celebratory. And even if you still believe the dress has bad mojo, your wedding will override it. I'm a big fan of what you put out into the universe and what you feel will happen. You're not this person. Maybe you're the person who's meant to give the dress a second chance and help it get it right the second time.
Mo, are you superstitious, little stitious, any kind of stitious?
I'd say I'm a little stitious.
Yeah.
I'm not very superstitious, but there are a few things that I believe in. But I think that the dress only has bad mojo if you believe it does.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
You know, like, I don't think that it really will cause any conflict in your life at all unless you allow it to. So if you don't believe in that, I think you'll be fine, and I think you should take the dress.
Maybe she should just sage it before the wedding.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I've seen a movie. It was a baseball movie where they took two chicken bones and made a cross and did it across the bat because the guy wasn't hitting well.
Bull Durham?
Yeah. No, it wasn't Bull Durham. It's Major League.
Okay.
And,
and maybe she could take a couple chicken bones and hit the wedding dress with it.
Just maybe a few McNuggets, just cross them.
Yeah.
Go through the drive-thru.
Let's not put chicken on the dress. Aaron, I'm team wear the dress, in all honesty. I don't even think you need to sage it. I don't think you need to put any chicken bones on it. I feel like your energy supersedes anything that the dress may hold.
Yeah, I mean.
And I'm kind of mad at your friend for planting the seed in your head, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Yeah.
The dress is coming to you in the form of a gift.
Yeah.
I mean, that's such positivity and good energy in and of itself.
Your friend is the bad mojo.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, don't invite him to the wedding.
All right, so I vote yes, dress. Cassie?
Yes.
Mo?
Say yes to the dress.
Yes, but get some chicken bones.
Okay. congratulations, Aaron. And whatever you ultimately decide, will you do a follow-up with us and let us know?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate everybody. I'll let you know. I don't know yet.
Okay. Well, whatever you decide, we'll touch base, okay?
Okay. Thanks so much.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The Burt Show.
All right, Cassie. He's debating dumping her because of the smell of her apartment?
Yeah, this is, it sounds so dumb, but hear him out. My friend's dating a girl and they've been on a couple of dates, and this past one, I think it was like the fourth date, he went back to her apartment and he had always told me that she smelled really flowery and pretty, and he kind of commented it like it was a weird thing to bring up, but I'm like, after his first date, but I'm like, that's cool. Like, you're just describing the date and all your senses and experiences. And after this date, he came back and he's like, Cass, I don't think I can date this girl. I think I got to break it off. And I'm like, why? You guys like bonded, you gelled, you said the vibes are good. You've been on four dates, so I know like you're vibing. And he's like, her apartment is so overpowering with perfume and flowery smell and Glade plugins and the whole nine yards. He's like, I couldn't stand to be in there for more than 10 minutes. He's like, I got all bunged up. Like, it just, my clothes smelled like it for days. I had to wash my clothes twice to get the smell out of her apartment. And he's like, I just can't, I don't like it. And he's like, I don't want it to be a deal breaker, but how can I go to someone and be like, hey, we've been on four dates, I really like you, but your place smells too much like a Bed Bath & Beyond or a Bath & Body Works, make it stop. And so he's considering, he's like, I don't really know what to do. I like her, but I can't go to her place and I can't be around all that smell.
Mo, you ever date a woman who's like, whose smell was overpowering and not even like a rancid smell, but just either too much perfume or too many candles in the apartment?
Not that I can remember.
No?
No, I don't think so. But if I were in his situation, I would say something.
Yeah, that's okay. That's because I have a very sensitive nose. I can't smell anything right now because I'm so stopped up. But typically, I've established with Abby, I prefer to stink. I don't wear perfume. My deodorant is extremely mild. And there's only one kind of candle I will allow to be lit in my home, and that is the one from Anthropologie Volcano.
Ah, yeah.
That
yeah.
is the only candle that I can tolerate. Anything that's overly scented, I literally get a headache from it. So if you've dated a woman and you've only gone on four dates, can you say something, or does that make you the weirdo?
Yeah, if some guy is coming to me after four dates and being like, your apartment smells terrible, I'm being like, all right, weirdo, well, you don't have to date me. I think maybe it could be something along the lines of like, if you've been dating for a while and it's gotten to the point where you guys have a rapport where he can be like, dude, like, why do you use so many Glade plugins? I feel like that's more appropriate. Four dates, I'm like, just go back to your place, dude. Like, you don't need to go to hers.
I would say something only because if he's already thinking about ditching, then he really doesn't lose anything. So if you go to her and you say something and she kind of reacts like Abby did, you was thinking about ditching anyway, right?
That's
If she actually is willing to work with you, which I don't see happening, but it could happen, then maybe you have more of a reason to stay.
Can you imagine her choosing her Glade plugins over true love?
It's like, this could be the one, and she's like, no, sir, I need my clean linen Glade plugins. It's so funny how people do become nose blind. Like, I guess she walks into her house, and to her, it's not that overpowering just because her senses have just gotten so used to it.
And whereas I'm like you, Kristen, I don't do a lot of scents. I can smell people if, like, we're on the same outside path. I'm like, ooh, that's a cloud of gain. You just did laundry. Like, I can smell it. But can you imagine, though? Like, it's her house. And I told him, I'm like, dude, I understand and I'm totally with you, but you can't ask someone to change their sanctuary and their space and their house to accommodate you. It just feels wrong. That's
invasive, Tommy. Yeah.
Have you guys ever heard the thing, and I'm looking at it, it's from Science Daily from 2008, Tel Aviv University. Wearing too much perfume may indicate depression.
Where did you from 2008?
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Like overcompensating?
Yeah, I don't know. It's something about women who wear too much perfume are losing their sense of smell but due to depression.
Oh, because when you're depressed, I think all of your senses kind of lower a little bit. Like you ride that middle. Because being depressed doesn't always mean sad. It can just mean like a loss of like vibrancy and joy for life.
I don't know about you guys. I've gotten in the elevator here at the radio station and I'll smell like a lingering thing. I was like,
Somebody,
somebody was depressed on the elevator.
Again, Tommy, as we spoke earlier, correlation is not causation. No, because every person you run into,
Tel Aviv.
That is BS.
Dude, I just farted in the elevator. I'm sorry. You got on after me.
Now you got me, since you brought that up about your home being your sanctuary.
He likes her though. Like, and that's
then
the
don't
thing.
Go to her place. Have her come over to your place.
That's why I think it's more appropriate for like later in the relationship, because if it gets to the point where like you go out on a date night, you go back to her place, and you're spending a lot of time there, even though that's still her place, he's spending like not just as much time there, but a good amount to where it'd be kind of like, hey, like it's starting to make my head hurt.
Let me ask you this then, Abby. So let's say you did invite a guy back to mm-hmm. your apartment. You've been dating for a while. And then every time you invite him back again, he finds some way to like just invite you over instead and never comes to your place. Is that a red flag for you though?
That would make me feel weird. I'm like, why can't we go back to my place? Your place is probably disgusting because you're a 25-year-old man. that would be weird if he would never want to go back to mine.
But then if he told you, hey, it's just, I really like you, it's just the Glade plugins or whatever, your perfume is overpowering at your apartment, do you feel offended or are you glad that he's continued to date you and just tried to make it work?
It would hurt my feelings, and then I'd probably go on Amazon and buy some clean linen, like scentless candles to fix it.
All right, so I should tell him he hasn't made a decision yet, so I should say he should say nothing, keep dating her to see where it goes. And then if this issue ever comes up, he can then bring it up.
Mo and I are team Say Something.
I would say something.
Yeah. Well, that's not helpful. We're split now. All right, I'm going to send him the break. Yeah.
The Burt Show.
Cassie, what kind of summer is it going to be for us?
It's not going to be hot girl summer.
No?
It's not going to be sad girl summer.
No?
It's not going to be lazy girl summer.
No?
I'm calling it. It is self-care summer.
Is this an internet thing or is this a you thing?
This is a me thing, and it's about to be an internet thing because I am starting it right here, right now. Self-care summer. It can be guys. It can be girls. It can be they. Doesn't matter who it is. If you are non-binary, you can participate in this summer. It is self-care summer. And here's the goal. Every day, you do something self-care oriented for yourself.
Every day?
Every day. But it doesn't have to be big. That's the difference. It can literally be as simple as sitting for 5 minutes in a quiet room and meditating. It can be a hot bubble bath. It could be reading before bed. It could be one less cup of coffee. Anything that makes you feel good. Standing outside in the sun for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Don't forget your sunscreen. Anyway, like that's the whole point, is starting to make little moves to focus on yourself, because I know I've been lost in being a mom and being busy with stuff, and you kind of like tend to fall to the wayside. And I started doing this every day, something like a gua sha routine, whatever it is. And I have started to feel better and better, and I've been able to add on more and more stuff. And it's making me a better, happier person, which means I'm being better for everybody around me.
I am curious what everybody on the show does for their own self-care. Like, Abby, when you think self-care for yourself, what do you do?
You know what my favorite part of my day is? Is every day I go to...
Seeing us.
Yes.
Seeing
you guys is a form of self-care, truly. Is after I get out of the shower, I have like a big fluffy bathrobe that I got. I'm telling you, you splurge on it once, every night will feel like a spa night.
I have a big fluffy robe, but ever since I had a child, I run so hot and it makes me sweat my balls off.
Not my balls.
In the winter, it's good to cozy up in front of a fire. But yeah, I tried my big fluffy robe the other day and I literally had sweat dripping down my boobs. And I'm like, this defeats the purpose of having a shower.
You had a silk robe.
I have to.
Oh, those feel good. Those are nice. Ooh. So I know it's hard to do and it sounds dumb, but like, when you start doing it, it's not. And you really have to carve out the time. And if you say, I don't have time, find 5 minutes. I guarantee you can jump off TikTok, though that could be a form of self-care as well if you need to escape. Just find 5 minutes to start doing something and do something different every day. Forgive yourself if you can't get to it, but I guarantee you'll start to feel a little bit better when you start focusing on yourself. And you can do that without giving up on everybody else around you.
Mo, what does self-care look like for you?
I don't know. I was just sitting here thinking to myself, like, is there anything I do? I don't know if this exercise count. As self-care?
Yeah, it can. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, I wouldn't count that as self-care, but you can.
I think society would count that as self-care. If you exercise, you feel better, mm-hmm. right?
Well, after. See, that's why I don't know if it's true self-care, because it doesn't feel good during. Like, I hate every second of
that's
it, but I do.
That's a good question. Like, does it have to be something you enjoy? Or can it be something self-care that, like, for some people, working out isn't an enjoyable activity, but they know it's beneficial to them?
Yeah, you don't have to enjoy it. It's just, does it benefit you in some way? You could literally start taking probiotics or vitamins, and that counts as self-care. It's anything you can do for yourself, either mentally or physically, that will
will benefit you in the long run.
Tommy?
Cassie mentioned something earlier. I want to know what it is. What is gua sha?
Let us tell you about the gua sha.
It sounds like a bowl you'd order at Chipotle.
Really quick, before Cassie, because I know Abby knows what it is. I know what it is. I want Mo to throw out some guesses of what gua sha is.
Oh, man. Yeah. Gua sha. It's not a drink at Dunkin' Donuts?
It is not. Okay. I appreciate the shout out, though.
Oh, hey, I got you. Some kind of yoga move.
No, but
that's
I like
a good guess.
It is a great guess.
That's not bad.
But totally incorrect.
Why I seem so shocked that I did something good? I don't understand.
Better guess than a Chipotle bowl, but now I know what I'm getting for lunch. It is a healing routine that stems from China that you use a jade tool that's cut in a very weird shape to drain your lymphatic system in your face. So it helps depuff your face, but also kind of get toxins out.
Okay.
And it's a little bit of a facial massage thing too. So I use oil and I give myself a face massage and I kind of do it. It's supposed to tone and thin out your face and get rid of swelling, but I just do it because it feels nice.
Gotcha.
I just thought of something for everybody. This weekend, I drove by and the sign was up. This weekend, this Sunday, by my house in Powder Springs, there's this alpaca farm, and they've got alpaca yoga.
Ooh. That is self-care.
Yes, weekend plans.
I want to see Tommy doing alpaca yoga.
That would
be self-care, me just watching Tommy doing alpaca
yoga. I'm just afraid I'll fart.
I guarantee it won't smell worse than the alpacas.
I'm over here. Okay, so Cassie, if you're going to adopt self-care summer, I'm just going to embrace lazy girl summer. Is that all right?
That's a form of self-care. So you can do both at once.
All right, Mo, I need closure.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if we have followed up on whether or not Romeo, who is not here today, conveniently, so we can talk about him, if he ever paid off his bet to you, because he was supposed to drive you somewhere the equivalent of $500 worth of a drive.
Right. That was the initial bet, which was taking a while because, well, for one, I was out of town a couple of times. And then the one weekend where we had it set up where he was supposed to come pick me and my family up for my comedy show, which would have cleared all debts, he did not do. So he had a last chance opportunity to save himself in taking me to the airport is what I believe we decided on. And if he didn't take me to the airport, then he had to bungee jump.
Got it. Okay, so just the ride to the airport, but he didn't have to pick you up back from the airport.
I don't remember exactly what we said as the precedent on air. I was trying to. I can't remember if it was it had to be round trip or not. Maybe it was, but if it was, then technically he did not fulfill his obligations because he only took me to the airport. He did not pick me up.
Oh, how was that ride, by the way?
He wasn't the happiest. I was pretty much giving it to him the entire time about having to just because I sat in the back purposely. I didn't want to sit in the front with him. I wanted it to feel like he was giving me a ride. And so I enjoyed it. I kept asking him to turn the air up, turn it down, put the music on, change the station. I annoyed him the entire time there to try to get my money's worth.
Got it. And we were talking about Maybox earlier because of a Burt Show drama email that we had. And you had informed us that you have been in a Maybach, which if you don't know what it is, it's a very luxurious brand of Mercedes. This thing starts at $185,000. Mm-hmm. I come to find out it comes with a driver, which I was completely unaware of. But we talked off the air whose car was, but go ahead and tell everybody whose Maybach you were riding in.
So quite a few years ago, when I was in my younger 20s, I used to write music for Murder, Inc. I used to help. I was one of the songwriters. And so because I was writing a lot of the songs back then, I had the privilege of writing in the back of Irv Gotti's Maybach quite a few times.
Is it a Maybach or a Maybach?
Everybody pronounces it differently, but I don't know what the official correct term is. But it is to this day the only time, because I'm 6'3", that I remember being able to literally lay down in the back of a vehicle.
How is that even possible? How long is this thing?
It's it's so weird because when you sit in it, you can obviously it's more leg room than you've ever experienced. But the way that it reclines, it's the seat can go back and forward at the same time. Uh-huh. And before you know it, somehow you back there fully stretched out. It's incredible.
Apparently, we've all been pronouncing Maybach wrong.
Yeah.
I just Googled it. It's a German word. And apparently you're supposed to pronounce it Maybach.
My back.
As in my back hurt?
Not on that backseat.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.